Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. For your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. From their infancy, the youth need to have a firm barrier built up between them and the world, that its corrupting influence may not affect them. Parents must exercise unceasing watchfulness, that their children be not lost to God. The vows of David, recorded in the 101st Psalm, should be the vows of all upon whom rest the responsibilities of guarding the influence of the home. The psalmist declares, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceitful shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. The youth should not be left to learn good and evil indiscriminately. The parents, thinking that at some future time the good will predominate and the evil lost its influence. The evil will increase faster than the good. It is possible that the evil which children learn may be eradicated after many years, but who will trust to this? Whatever else they neglect, parents should never leave the children free to wander in the paths of sin. Parents should remember that association with those of lax morals and coarseness of character will have a detrimental influence upon the youth. If they fail to choose proper society for their children, if they allow them to associate with youth of questionable morals, they place them or permit them to place themselves in a school where lessons of depravity are taught and practiced. They may feel that their children are strong enough to withstand temptation, but how can we be sure? It is far easier to yield to evil influence than to resist them. Ere they are aware of it, their children may become imbued with the spirit of their associates and may be degraded or ruined. Parents, guard the principle and habits of your children as the apple of the eye. Allow them to associate with no one with whose character you are not well acquainted. Permit them to form no intimacy until you are assured that it will be done, do them no harm. Accustom your children to trust your judgment and experience. Teach them that you have clearer perception of character than they in their inexperience can have, and that your decisions must not be disregarded.
I can't even, Father, once again, most grateful and thankful that once again we are in the land of the living today. As we see the signs being fulfilled, Father, more than ever before, we need to be grateful and thankful and not take life for granted. We thank you for your guidance and your protection. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that continue to work upon the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls everywhere. Man, as this program is over today, Father, we hope that the information that you have access to share will help our people to understand that we are living in the time of the end, and we must be ready now to meet you in the clouds of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. And we will be continuing our study on the Ten Commandments, but more specifically, we will take another look or take an expanded look on the commandment, Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery, and see how wide and far and broad that commandment really is. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993 or email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Our web address is www.tpministries.org. And on our website, you'll be able to find articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renwe, or you may be able to find past shows, past programs that we have done here on Sunday afternoons. And even you will be able to find some health tips. We also have websites or connections to sites that will expound on some of the things that we have covered during our program on Turning Point. Now, once again, on November 20th, Turning Program is presenting another live call-in show. That is November 20th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the same station. You'll be given a live call-in show. That's 2 hours of commercial-free talk. Our subject will be Law and Grace. That's November 20th at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Law and Grace. Before we get into our question and answering period, we are going to ask Brother Paul once again to take a look at the headlines and see what spiritual significance we could garner from those, from today's headlines.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. From the headlines, there are so many things from the headlines. So the video is going to touch one or two on this side of the program. And as we go to the program, we'll bring some other things from the headlines that are very important of the discussion we're speaking on to you today. One of the things that came in the paper this week, Friday edition of the Tribune, Mann murdered and two others were shot. But today I'd like to read a scripture for our young men, in case you've never heard the scripture before. It comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. My son, forget not my law, but let thine hand keep my commandments. Why? For length of days, and long life, and peace shall lay out unto thee, young man. Let mercy and truth forsake thee. They shall not forsake thee, the Bible says. Mercy and truth. Bind these two, mercy and truth, upon the tables of thy neck, and write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shall thine find favor and understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, young man, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, young man, you should acknowledge Jesus Christ, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in your own eyes, young man. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. That's the command and the commission that's coming from the word of God to all young men today, and even some young ladies that find themselves in a domestic dispute. As time go on, and even the police department in the newspaper this week said they're going to try to approve domestic violence response in their timing. They said one time ago it used to take 25 to 30 minutes to respond to domestic violence, but now they're going to try to cut that down to 10 to 15 minutes. And who knows, within that 10 or 15 minutes, maybe they'll be counting another murder. When this report was written, it was 43. I think it's 44 now since this report was written. Surely, ladies and gentlemen, time is running out.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. My first question to Brother Paul and Brother Renwick this afternoon is, in today's society, we are constantly bombarded with sexual imagery and sexual infidelity. Saying that adultery is not just a physical act, but also part of, in your mind, what should we or what can we say to our brothers and sisters today?
Well, Brother Julian, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that told us in the Gospels, and I'll read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, and it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of time of old, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And this does not only apply to females, but it also applies to males. And, you know, when the young ladies look after men with lust in their heart, they're already guilty of committing adultery. But what can we say to our brothers and sisters out there that may fall into this on occasion? Well, we would encourage you to, you know, first of all, to study the Word of God and to realize that our bodies were given to us as a gift from God, you know, and our bodies were meant to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, that our body is not our own. And the Apostle Paul himself confirms this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, and he says, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So seeing that we are not our own, and seeing that our bodies are to be the temple of the Holy Ghost, then we are not to carry ourselves in any way. We are not to do things that would defile this body and bring shame to our Lord, but we are to live holy lives. And the Apostle Paul also says this one verse above. In verse 18, he says that we should do what? We should flee fornication. Why should we flee fornication? He goes on to say that every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. But what does this sin do? James chapter 2 and verse 10 and verse 11 tells us that when we sin, when we commit one sin, we break one commandment, we break one part of the law. And it is this sin, it is this breaking this commandment, is these acts that put a separation between us and God. It doesn't draw us nearer to God. It doesn't help us to live holy and holy lives that will be pleasing to God, but it puts a distance between us and God. So what should we do? We should try to live holy lives. We should follow the example that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave us throughout the scriptures, that he lived a holy life and he didn't allow himself to succumb to the temptations that are all around us today.
The only thing I'd like to add, Brother Renwick said, is one scripture. Because for some reason, the Bahamian people and people around the world believe that it's the government responsibility to make the world be a better place. But in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the Bible says, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart. Now notice, it didn't say the government must do it, because as a matter of fact, the government don't even have children. They don't have our child, or our children, or our daughters, or our sons. We help them. So it's the parents' responsibility to train the children in the way they should go, that when they are old, they should not depart. But the problem is, everyone want to call it a PLP problem or an FNM problem or whatever government problem. No, it's our problem, parents, not the government's problem. So leave the government alone. Yes, the government will be doing some things that are not pleasing the eyesight of God, but the government are not responsible for our children. That's our responsibility. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, each one of us as parents are going to give an account for our children. And if we can't, be assured, we along with our children are going to be in hell in a little while. I'll read that scripture to confirm that based on the Bible and the Bible only.
You know, Brother Paul, there's a second part to this question that Brother Julian asked. What should we say to our brothers and sisters? And, you know, you alluded to it. It's a personal responsibility. It's not a government or a politician responsibility, but it's our personal responsibility. We must take personal responsibility for our actions and what we do. And as individuals, we must be mindful, as the Apostle said, that whatever we do, we must be careful that we don't lead others to stumble. We don't cause other people to sin. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, and it says here, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, and he says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety. And why should we adorn ourselves in modest apparel? This doesn't only apply to women, but it also applies to men. You know, we don't want to go about dressing in certain ways or carrying ourselves in certain ways that will cause other individuals to, you know, to slip into sin, to lust after our bodies. But we should always dress modestly. We should always act modestly. And that's why the Apostle said throughout the scriptures that whatever they do, they don't want to do anything that would cause their brother to stumble or fall into sin in any way. And this is one of the things that we should always keep into consideration, that our actions, that we must be very careful of our actions. And today, dress is such an important thing. But we should be careful that nothing that we do, always be careful and keep it in mind that we don't want to cause our brother to stumble or fall.
This week, the Member of Parliament, Bastian, the Member of Parliament for Andres, I don't know if it's North or South, I don't remember right now, but this week he called for tougher laws for pedophiles. And in our society today, we know, we've heard the reports by MP Wisdom about the increase in pedophiles and rapes against young children. Would these tougher laws help in terms of dealing with these pedophiles, Brother Paul, Brother Henry?
No, Brother Julian. I mean, we can make as much laws as we want to pass. And unless people turn to the Word of God to find strength and to find hope and to find direction, these laws are not going to change anything, ladies and gentlemen. Matter of fact, Jesus puts it this way in the book of Matthew chapter 24. He said, because the iniquity abound, the love of many would wax cold. And in that same chapter, he said, the condition of the earth is going to be so bad when he returns. If he don't come and put an end to it, no flesh will be Savior, but for the elect's sake. And who are the elect? The elect are those who are rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, following his word to the letter. I truly believe, as I listen to Brother Renrick discuss the way the women are dressing today, I don't think a lot of women are going to be in heaven, even Christian women, because these women are out of control. See, the devil knows, ladies, that men are stimulated by what they see. And just like the devil, the Lord said, keep your clothes on, women are taking their clothes on off, and men are keeping their clothes on. You know, Brother Bastian, a parliamentarian, he's calling for trouble, and the Lord that he is calling that, I didn't even know that there was a fine for sexual abuse of children. The fine was $250. They've increased it to $5,000. And he said, can $5,000, an increase in fines, cover the injury that is brought upon a child? The answer is definitely no. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for the parents to take on their responsibility and do what is called for them to do. If not, we parents and our children are going to find ourselves outside the kingdom of God and be burned in hellfire with the devil and his angels.
You know, Brother Paul, it speaks, you know, to the state of our society. We have so many laws on the books today that, you know, and the fines just seem to keep going up, up, and up, but it would seem to deter certain crimes for a moment, but then they just seem to come back and on the rise again and again and again. And the problem with this situation that we're discussing right now, I mean, it's a state of mind. It has to do with what is in the individual's mind. It has to do with what is in the individual's heart. And laws on the books are not going to change what those individuals do. I mean, it may deter it for a short space of time, and then, you know, people get up, have an opportunity to stand up and cheer and say, oh yes, we've solved the problem, but it's going to come right back again, if it even goes, starts to deter it to begin with. So the problem is an individual problem. What needs to be changed is the individual's heart, the individual's mind. There must be conversion that takes place not just laws being put on the books, but I mean, the politicians, I guess they're doing what they know how to do best and just try and fix the situation how best they know how. But it's a spiritual problem, not a legal problem.
One of the things that we see happen in our society today, I'm sure, is a direct correlation to what is happening with this commandment, is that we see a lot of young girls getting pregnant, and we see a lot of young girls getting pregnant, more girls getting pregnant, and getting pregnant at a younger age. But the poor Brother Henrik, is this a phenomenon only in the Bahamas, or this is seen around the world?
No, Brother Jordan, all around the world, this thing is being seen. As a matter of fact, it's from the Daily Mail. It's quote coming from London. A girl at the age of 11 was British youngest mother. At the age of 11, this story is so serious. They said that this girl smoked 20 cigarettes a day despite being 8 months pregnant. She conceived at the age of 11, the story said, when she lost her virginity to a boy of 15 on a drunken night out with friends. That means she was drunk. The 15-year-old, they said, has since been charged for rape. But it's not only in London, England, it's also in the United States of America. Well, listening parents, are first and second grade were accused. That's right. Boys who were in the first grade and the second grade were accused of having sexually assaulted a girl who was also in the second grade. This happened during the break period, what we call the recess period. This girl was only 8 years old, and she was gang raped, or gang assaulted, I should say, by a group of little boys. There was 12 boys and one little girl. The teacher, who should have been supervising and watching over these young children, was suspended from school because she was not doing her job properly. So this is worldwide. And that's why today, parents, more than ever before, we have to find out what it is our kids are involved with. What school do they attend? Are the teachers really doing what they require them to do? Because many are not in our presence. Who presence are they in?
You know, we always have to ask ourselves, what's going on behind the closed doors? What's going on? Are we now reaping the results of what we allow in, into our homes, into our society? You know, I so many times when I pass the television that's in the kitchen at work, you know, it'll be on BET or MTV, and you see the guys on TV in these rap music videos, and they're just bragging and boasting, the gold chains around their necks and the flashy cars, and they're bragging. Oh, they're pimping these girls, and they have the girls on their sides, and I mean, they're almost having sex on television. And then there's so many of these reality shows where they show young people and they're almost having sex on television themselves. And society puts a stamp of approval on these things. So now we reaping the results of allowing these things into our homes, claiming on one hand to be a Christian nation and a Christian people, but what's going on behind these closed doors?
Amen, Brother Julian, Brother Henrik. You know, that's why I think what Brother Julian read his devotional talk. All parents need today to pick up their Bibles and read Psalms chapter 101, verses 1 to 8. I call this God's TV guide. That's Psalms chapter 101, verse 1 to 8. What Brother Julian read today in his devotional talk is right on, parents, that we should not know a wicked person. We should not let no wicked thing be in our houses. We should not set no wicked thing before our eyes. We should hate all of them that turn aside. They should not cleave unto us. But these programs that we watch on television, these sitcoms, we call them, they are grooming our children's mind at a young age and getting them sexually stimulated to do things that are not pleasing the eyesight of God. No, man. We must remember, ladies and gentlemen, that God has designed sex. This is not an invention of the devil. God is the one who designed sex. And he said through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, that is, that it's not good for a man to touch a woman. But see, there are a lot of things that stimulate our minds before touching take place. And most of the time, it's through the sitcoms, it's through these music videos, like Brother Renwick said just now, and through a whole lot of stuff. I even see ladies on the news with the cleavage of their breasts shown. So here again, we have to be careful. And another thing I need to say is, what magazines we have laying around the house. Certain magazines and certain newspaper clippings don't need to be laid nowhere around the house, because our kids do not look at these things in our presence. They will find some place to hide away to look at these things. And their minds are being stimulated at a young age to get those motors running that God has designed only for marriage. So remember, these motors are supposed to get running, but not until they say, I do. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Before this show, I'll tell you exactly where that's found. It's 1 Corinthians for sure. I'll give you the chapter in a little while.
And you know, our Lord Jesus, he made a quote in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 29. He said, and if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. And I put a question mark behind this. you know, just asking myself, well, how does this apply today? And it just comes, fits right back into this conversation that we're having. If we see those things that Brother Paul says, those magazine clippings or the newspaper, the promotional things in the newspaper or the television shows, those things that are going to mold and shape our minds in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord, that are going to lead us down the path of unrighteousness rather than righteousness, then what ought we to do? Well, Jesus is saying here, not that we literally take a knife and pluck our eyes out, but that we separate ourselves from those things that will cause us to sin and put separation between us and our God.
That chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, read the whole chapter. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, now concerning the things we have here written unto me, it is not good for a man to touch a woman. And then he goes on to explain, if you're going to touch, time for you to get married, because it's better to marry than to burn.
Yes, once again, another of our politicians has written in the papers concerning child abuse. I think under the topic, child sexual abuse grows. And he explains how the sexual abuse of children has increased. I think, if I remember correctly, it says between 2000 and 2004, 15 rapes were recorded, or those 1,500 rapes. Of those 1,500 rapes, 952 were of children. Brother Paul, Brother Renmer, what is causing this, and what is the solution?
Brother Julian, when I read this story, if there's any parent out there who did not read this story that was printed, it was in the Guardian, it was also in the Tribune, it was also in the Bahama Journal. If there's any parents in the sound of our voice who have not read this story true, when you read it, you need to read it prayerfully and carefully, and you need to tremble in your boots. Because if this has not happened to our child, or to our grandchild, or to our son or our daughter, praise God. You know, because, hey, man, this is a sad commentary that's written in the paper here, Brother Neville Wisdom, our minister of youth, had to share with his colleagues in the House of Assembly last week. I mean, when I read the story, I couldn't stop shaking my head to know that. The only thing about this story I like to know is that if 952 of our young children were sexually molested, that means we should have 952 cases in the courts, unless it was all done by one person. I didn't hear anything on the news about this. What happened? There should be 952 cases before the court right now of this young man or young lady who sexually molested our young children. And this is why, parents, God has called you to be the guardian of your children. But the problem is, we are so busy, we let anyone keep our children because we're trying to chase the dollar. The time has come for us to be responsible for our kids and know always where they are. Because Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, God said, I'll also reject thee, that thou be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. That's what we're discussing here, the Ten Commandment law of God. God said, because parents have forgotten the law, I will also forget thy children. How serious is that, parents? That if we turn a blind eye to God's laws, God said, you will also reject our children. Another thing that hurts me with this thing about sexual abuse and women dress in a provocative way. Sometimes I see mothers and daughters dressing the same way, very provocatively, dressing so nasty. Ladies, I mean, put on your clothes. I mean, what's going on? I mean, have you all lost your mind? I mean, have you disbanded the mind of Christ and taken on your own mind? That Bible says a carnal mind. See, the Bible says these things are spiritually discerned. And any woman, I mean, and I see this in all cross sections of Bahamian people. I mean, this thing of dressing nasty, you don't have no discrimination. If I call some of the names of people on here that I see dressing nasty, I mean, it's so embarrassing. I mean, old women who are almost ready to dead, all their clothes off. I mean, it just blows my mind. I mean, I've never saw my mother dress provocative. And when I see people on the television and the newspaper dressed, literally, ladies and gentlemen, almost ready to, at any moment, you could hear so-and-so die. And they dress so nasty. And they say they want these people to be the role models for our young ladies. No wonder our young ladies are dressing so provocative. Because they see you all doing it. Mamas, grandmas, and grandmothers. Come on. I mean, what example are you setting for my daughter? And for the rest of us daughters and young ones who are growing up watching your actions.
It is a state of mind, Brother Paul. It is the condition of the heart. And what's happening right now is what's on the inside is being manifested on the outside. The lust that's in the heart is being played out in the physical realm. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in Thessalonians, furthermore, I beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye have received of us how ye are to walk and to please God. So so ye would abound more and more. And he goes on in verse 3 to says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. It is a state of mind, it is the state of the heart that needs to be addressed. You need to realize that this body, again, it is not ours. Not only is this body not ours, but we should not be doing things that would cause others to fall and stumble into sin.
One thing I'd like to say before we go up there is, there are two areas I like to report right now that I see sexual abuse and child molestation. That's Fun Day and Junior Junkanoo. I pray to heaven and God in heaven that our Minister of Education take these two things out of the school. Amen. If you want to see some young ladies dressed nasty, check out Fun Day and Junior Junkanoo. I under the authority of God's word today, if you listen to the minister, please stamp these two programs out of the school program and turn the Bible on. Let the Bible do what it says. Because Psalm says, if we have hide the word of God in our hearts, we will not sin against God.
What amazes me about these two things that you just spoke about, Brother Paul, is that there are no type of dress restrictions on Fun Day. I mean, young people are allowed to come in almost any way. As long as they don't come in a bra and a bikini, they're allowed to come in any other thing. And what amazes me about the Junior Junkanoo that you just spoke of is that, you know, our young ladies are allowed to shake and wind up themselves up and down the street. And this thing that we call Junior Junkanoo, and parents and the teachers and the adults don't see anything wrong with it. But again, we come back days and weeks later and shocked and surprised when we see the amount of abuse and rapes and molestations that are going on. It just does not help.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege to come before your throne. We come before you, O God, first asking forgiveness for our sins. We come, O God, asking for pureness of heart. Lord, as we see the sexual abuse and the sexual immorality and all the evil that is besetting us each day, we ask, O Lord, to give us the power and the strength to follow your word, to spend more time in your word. Let our hearts be changed. Let our minds be changed. By reading, by understanding your word, is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our telephone contact is 322-6273. Our next live program will be November the 20th, Law versus Grace. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul.
And
this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.